Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Rob Osun. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Yes.
Will you please pray for us?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, we just thank you thank for you. This time that you have ordained for us to gather together no matter where we are in this world. Time that is your time, Father, that has been set aside to study your word.
Yes, Lord.
Time to fellowship and to worship you. Time to draw closer to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For your word and the things that you are teaching us, Father. There's still so much to learn. We can spend the rest of our lives studying your word, Father. And each day, everything that we read, we will see new things. You will have a new message for us that is relevant for where we are. Father, it is the living word that you have given us, and we just praise and magnify your name. Thank you so much for this, and we just ask this evening that you bind any distractions, anything that would interfere, Father, and let your message go forth. For your scripture teaches us that where two or more are gathered, your word, you are in our presence, and you also teach us in your word that it never goes out void, never returns void, Father. So we know many are listening and many are learning from this. And we just look forward to the things that you have to teach us and the things to learn. Thank you for this time. And we ask that you bless it and minister to each and every one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. All right. For those of you that are with us live, today, we would like you to do the following for us. Use the chat if you are with us by way of computer. And use the chat if you have any questions to ask, and we will get back to you. For those who are with us by phone, please take down this number, 561-406-9853. Leave your questions. You can call several times. Just leave the question, and we are going to get back to you. However, at the end of this teaching, we are going to unmute everyone, and so that you will have the opportunity to ask questions or make a comment. So just be with us. All right, we want you to please keep everything quiet around you, radio, phone, TV, etc., because this teaching is live. All right, tonight let me read our text. Our text is taken from Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11 to 22. Good, good. It's a little bit long, but it's good. I'm reading from the New International Version. And if you have your Bible, please take it. This is a Bible study. So bring your Bible near you as we study together. Okay, I read. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow brother?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Hebrew. Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. But Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girl returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, what have you returned so early today? They answered, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock. And where is he? He asked his daughters. Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat. Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, I have become an alien in a foreign land. During that long period, the king of Pharaoh died. All right, let's just stop right here. We will stop at 22. Okay, I'll just read it on and to go on. All right. Now, what we're going to do today is we want to give you, before we can go further, a recap of last week's teaching. What we did last week, we want you to listen carefully. For those who are with us for the first time, and those who will be listening to us by way of replay, we want to do the recap and then smoothly go into our teaching for tonight. Last week, we studied the background of Moses and Zipporah's wedding. And in that, we learned that in God's providence, Moses, an Israelite's baby, was reared and educated in the house of Pharaoh. We also learned that the Pharaoh's order to the midwives in Egypt to kill all the boys at birth and save the girls didn't hold for Moses. The names of Moses' parents and their meanings, well, we learned them last week. Okay, Moses knew his root, and he killed one Egyptian for ill-treating his people. When the Pharaoh heard it, he wanted to kill Moses, and Moses fled and went to Midian. Now, please, if you have not listened to the first video, which is the background of this wedding, please go back to it because it's rich with so many things. We can't touch on all tonight because we're done with that. But we want you to go back to that. All right. Now, we learned that at the time, a new Pharaoh came into power who did not know Joseph. And what he did, he enslaved the Israelites for two major reasons. Now, this man did not know Joseph, according to the text. And he said, well, these people are all over our land. We need to do something to stop them from spreading. Reason number one for their enslavement was because they were fruitful in the land. If you check back to the first video, Israel entered the land Egypt with 70 pressings. And at the time of the new Pharaoh, there were so many thousand people in the land. They have so more argument to the people, the number, and here and there, but they have spread all over the country. So they were so fruitful. And then the Pharaoh was afraid. What did he say? He said, well, if we don't do anything, such growth made him afraid that if we don't do anything to stop these people from spreading, they may likely join our enemies to attack us, and our country will be in problem. So this is the thing we learned last week, paying attention. So the Pharaoh ordered these things. Let describe the kind of issues that he had, what he did to the Israelites, the persecution upon them. The first thing was, in order to lessen the threat from Israel's growing strength, Pharaoh enslaved them. That was the first thing. Okay, they are now slaves. We're not going to pay them for anything, and we will just do anything to crush them. So Israel became slave, and they had properties in the land. They were just slaves. So when you are slave, you own nothing. So they built cities like Pithom and Ramses and all that. And it was just, they were not being paid. They were really slaves. Now, the second thing that Pharaoh did to just put the whole thing to rest about the people of Israel, he ordered the midwives to kill at birth of the women. If the child is a boy, that boy child should not live, but the girl should be set free so that she will be there and maybe married to somebody. All right. But that did not hold because the text said the midwives were afraid. They feared God. They feared God, so they did not obey the order of the Pharaoh. Wow. So let's see what it meant by. They didn't, and when you look at Exodus 1:15-21, they did not pay attention. They said, no, we're not going to do that. They didn't do it. When the Pharaoh called them and said, but why are you not doing what I ordered? They said to him, Pharaoh, these women, the Israelites women, they are not like us. They deliver before we can even get there. However, Pharaoh got so mad and he ordered that all the babies be thrown into the Nile. That was the major, it was at this time that Moses was born, unto the union of Amram and Jochebed. They were descendants of Levite. The descendant from Levite. So they were in there and they had this child for 3 months in hiding. But they could not do anything anymore because it was just tough in the land. They loved the child, but hey, this is what Pharaoh has said. So they placed Moses in a small basket and set it along the bank of the Nile River. Now, in God's own providence, the Pharaoh's daughter went there to take a shower, you know, to have a good time, and then saw the basket. The great thing about the whole story was Miriam, the sister of Moses was standing by, did not go home, even though the mother left and went. But she was just standing to see what would have happened to the basket. And when the Pharaoh's daughter got there and saw the basket, she was so sorry. And she said, oh, I know, there's one of the Egyptians' baby here. Oh, Lord. She felt so sorry. And then Miriam came and said, do you want me to find somebody who will nurse this baby for you? And she said, yeah. Guess what happened? Moses was nursed by his own mother. And praise the Lord. I just love that. Now, then Moses left when he grew up in the palace, became man about almost something like 35, 38, or 39 years. He was the prince. He was just traveling here and there, but he knew his root. So one day, while he was traveling and seeing what was happening, an Egyptian was really ill-treating one of the Hebrews. So he got angry and killed this Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Now the next day when he went there, two of the Hebrews were fighting. And he said, look, how can you do that? You are brothers. But why must you fight among yourself? And the man, one of them said, oh, I see. Who made you judge over us? I know what you want to do. The same way you killed that Egyptian yesterday, and you want to do the same to me. And so Moses realized that this thing was known to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh, according to the text, Pharaoh heard that, and he wanted to kill Moses. Moses was now 40 years old when he left Egypt. Now, these are the things we studied last week, all right? Now, this week, here are the things that we're going to look at very carefully. At the end of this teaching, you will be able to understand and believe that Moses married Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro, priest of Midian, and the union was blessed with two sons, with two children, boys, two sons. The marriage was initiated by Jethro between Moses and Zipporah, was intended for Moses to stay within his household. This act of Jethro, of giving his daughter to Moses, is cultural. We're gonna look at that. Okay. There are four names ascribed to the prince or priest of Midian, and we will look at those four names and see exactly why those names were given and how, and the debates surrounding them. Jethro was not a priest of the God of Israel. It can be rightly argued that he was converted to the God of Israel because of the sacrifices he made to him. So that we're going to study that today. The Midianites were descendants of Midian, the eldest of the six sons of Keturah, the concubine of Abraham. These are the key things that we're going to study tonight, all right? Now, the first point here is the marriage of Moses. Then from the marriage of Moses, we're going to look at the second thing. We're going to look at the blessing in his household with children. Two things, the marriage and the blessing of children. So, the first thing is the marriage of Moses. All right, Rob.
Yes.
Yes, I said, I got you right here. You said you want to handle this point. So it's all yours.
Okay, so I've got a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
As we're looking at this text. So as you pointed out, Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He knew his heritage, his Hebrew heritage. And as we read in Exodus 2, he went out one day and he observed an Egyptian beating a Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
And when we look at this, there's a few things that are happening. So his response to this was that he confronted the Egyptian. There was an altercation, and in that, he murdered the Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where Moses was dwelling this time, we don't know. Was he living in the palace? Was he living amongst his people? We don't know, but he left his place because the text says that he went out and he observed this, how his people were being treated.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It mentions a couple times that he observed. And we see in his response, there's this strong sense of justice that he has for his people.
Right.
Though he did not always use just means. So here, you know, he murdered a fellow person.
Right.
That was not the appropriate action. But he waited until he perceived that nobody's around, and then he approached the Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
And Scripture tells us murder is wrong. So, you know, we know his actions were not the appropriate actions.
Right.
But what's interesting is his actions were known amongst his brethren. And why he was doing this, we don't know. If he was just trying to connect with his people, or if this was something that had been stirring in him for a while and he was upset. But it seems like it's a strong sense of justice, because now he flees to Midian.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees a similar thing. He sees the women being bullied by the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're interfering with their ability to work. So he stands up for them and helps them.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that these are the daughters of the priest in this area. And so he assists the seven daughters, and they return to their father.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks, how is it that they finished so soon? So as we point out in last week's day, that, you know, this bullying by the shepherds was likely a daily occurrence, that they came back rather late, and he knew that there was this event that was delaying them. And so he asked them, why did you not bring this man back?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple reasons that this could have occurred. One is they simply just didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know, was he dressed in the manner of an Egyptian, royalty, or was he in rags and having been on the run for some time? We really don't know.
Right.
So that, you know, and this goes to the second possible answer, is that he was a stranger and they might not have been comfortable with him.
Mm-hmm.
And after all, he was being rather brass and brazen, chasing off these shepherds. We don't know in what manner or what tone that he took, but obviously it worked, and they were able to finish up their business early and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a third theory that I came across, and that is that some contend that Zipporah knew that her father may offer her hand in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And she might not have been keen on the idea. If we remember, however, though, if we go back and we look at our earlier studies, in the custom, even though it may be an arranged marriage, that the father gives consent, the groom gives
right.
consent, as well as the bride. So she would have to give her consent. So I'm not so sure I buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some extra-biblical commentaries, particularly in the Talmud, and elsewhere, that talks, or excuse me, the Midrash, that talks about this,
mm-hmm.
That she was receptive, and so it's an interesting point,
mm-hmm.
And something worth pondering, but since we don't see the direct answer in Scripture.
Right.
You know, it's not likely the most important point. What is important and what we see here is the sequence of events that Moses is concerned about justice, about what is right for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it's where he's going to become a leader down the road,
mm-hmm.
Wanting to deliver them from this injustice.
Right.
But right now, it's just setting the stage for that event. And so the details in this are not what's important. It's rather his actions,
mm-hmm.
and the event of him procuring his wife. And it's interesting to know that the father wanted to know who this man was, and that he wanted to honor and to thank him.
Right.
And so as soon as this became known to the daughters, they carried out their father's wishes. We don't see any objection.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that that he extends his daughter's hand in marriage, She obviously accepted, and now she is betrothed to Moses. Now, we don't know the details of that. We also don't know how old the daughters are.
Mm-hmm.
But there, as I mentioned, there are many extra-biblical writings that expound further upon this. But what is important here is that, again, we see a little bit more about the manners and customs of marriage that we can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see is this is, she's most likely his oldest daughter.
Yes.
And that he is very thankful for the kindness they shared. And he's also probably wanting to have Moses there since he helped them out,
mm-hmm.
stay around and help them in their duties going forward. So it's very interesting. He goes into a people who are not his brethren, is accepted into their household, and begins dwelling amongst them. And so it's interesting to see that he is in this environment.
Yeah.
We know enough about the Midianites that they were a heathen culture. They worshipped foreign gods.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious that he's exposed to this and around this. Yet God is moving in him. And despite the things that he did, God's still going to call him to further service. So his purpose is being developed and fostered in this environment. So it's really interesting. A lot to think about, a lot to digest in just these few verses here.
Yes.
The other piece, too, is it's important to realize that Moses was about 40 years old at this time.
Right, 40 years. Right.
Yeah, so there was a lot of period that has transpired and led up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So just a couple things to think about.
Thank you, Rob. You nailed it. Thank you. All right. Now, Moses is in Midian in the house of the priest, Jethro, but here is Reuel. We'll discuss that later on why. And the priest gave his daughter, and I love what you said, Rob. That was the first daughter. Give her in marriage. He initiated that. And with the purpose that, and what you say, I agree with you, for Moses to stay within the household to serve him. That was kind of a cultural way of getting men, you know, from their home to come and live with you. And you have so many daughters. That's how you build up your power and getting the old man to come and work for you. So he did that. The priest did that. Now, this wedding, the Bible has no details. We don't know exactly how the wedding was performed. No one. The only thing we know is this, that Moses got married to Jethro's daughter, Zipporah. That's what the text said. How they got married? Well, I believe there was a custom at the time in Midian for a wedding, which they may have done, but Rob, we don't have that detail, so we can't talk about it, right?
Right, exactly. There's quite a bit of extra biblical material, particularly in the Midrash, about this,
mm-hmm.
and things that elaborate further. But since it's not in Scripture, we want to look at Scripture and let Scripture interpret Scripture. We don't want to look at anything that would have been outside of the early church,
yes.
And things that they would have accepted. So Scripture is the ultimate authority, and so we're going to defer to that and not speculate.
Right. Thank you. I love that. Okay. The name Zipporah means a female bird. That's the meaning. A female bird. That's the name of Moses. The meaning of Moses' wife's name. A female bird. Now, Moses got married to Jethro. To Jethro's daughter, rather. We want to know exactly who was this man, who was Jethro. We there's a lot of things about that we need to think about. All right, who was he? Now, the word Jethro means his excellence or gain. Could it be a title, or you could say your excellency, or what we don't know, but his name here is Jethro, meaning his excellence or gain. He was the priest of Midian. Okay, it is not definitely known what the religion of the Midianites was, but some scholars have suggested that the Kenites, which were a tribe included in the nation of the Midianites, as we found that in Judges 1:16, had a tribal god named Yahweh, okay, whom Jethro served as the priest. Biblical evidence does not support this interpretation. So, you know, we just throw it out there. That Jethro was a God-fearing and God-serving man is quite clear. But definitely, you cannot conclude that he was serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because the Midianites had their own gods, as rightly said. Jethro is referred to by other names. The Talmud records that his name was Jether, originally, but after his conversion, it became Jethro. There is no definite evidence to support this as well. He is called Reuel, the father of the seven daughters whom Moses met at the well. So we've seen them. We've seen Jethro, we've seen Reuel, and we see Jether. Jether was, somebody said his name was Jether, but when he got converted, and he was called Jethro and all that. So who was this man? We want to know. Scripture did not explain the use of the different names, suggestions such as each Midianite tribe he served as priest knew him by a different name. You know, when you cannot explain something, people speculate a lot. Okay. The second thing, Reuel was a tribal name, someone said, not personal. Then three, Hoba, the son's name, was used to refer to the father. Four, a gloss disappears in the text in Exodus 2:18 and Judges 4:11. And five, different literary sources account for the differences do not present adequate solutions. So this is a major thing. How far do we go from here? The various names that were given to this man, is this the same person or different people? We want to know Jethro. We know that he is the priest of Midian, but with the various names that are given to him, are these four or five names are his name or somebody else's name? So these are the things that scholar get a look at. Now, I love what is being written here by Hassa, and he said, and I just want to quote him directly. He said, it may be possible that one or more of the names was an epithet. Since Reuel means friend of God in Hebrew, it may be an epithet reflecting, listen, his priestly office or character. Now, he was known as the friend of God. The Midianites were the descendants of Abraham's six sons by his concubine Keturah. You can find that in Genesis 25:6. Records that Abraham recalls that Abraham sent his sons by Keturah away from his son Isaac to the east country. All right. The biblical area designated as Midian lay in the south of Canaan and encompassed the desert areas east of the Sinai Peninsula. This area was in close proximity to Moab, very close to Moab, included parts of the Transjordan, and had trade routes that extended as far as Egypt. Moses fled to this region from Egypt, and its people were frequently problematic for Israel. Now we're trying to see, we're looking at Jethro. We know he is the prince of, I mean, the priest of Midian. But we got different names. Rob, you said you got a note here.
I do. So as you point out, there is a bit of extra biblical speculation about the names.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to remember is that something we pointed out last week, when we're studying scripture, some things we don't always understand. What we need to realize is we need to pray that, Lord, since my understanding is in error,
mm-hmm.
how is it that I can better understand your word? So it's not that there's an error in scripture, rather it's an error in our understanding, because we are of finite intellect. Trying to study spiritual things, which are not fleshly things, and trying to understand them and understand a God who is omniscient and omnipotent. He is all-knowing and all-powerful. So these are very complex things. So if we go back and we look at scripture, we see some things that have happened. So in previous weeks, we talked about Abraham, but before he was Abraham, his name was Abram.
Mm-hmm.
And as his purpose changed, as God called him and changed his purpose and direction in life, his name was changed.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah became Sarah, and Jacob became Israel. And so we see this happening. There was also different names for individuals as they came in contact with different cultures.
Right.
And people around them. So these are very likely things that could have been happened. That could have happened here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that's going to bother me or affect my faith or anything that I'm going to worry about. But we look at this, and just a couple things to think about. So as you pointed out, Zipporah means a little bird, a sparrow. It's also a term of endearment within the Middle Eastern cultures. Of that time.
Right.
And then, as we pointed out last week, Moses' name means drawn, that he was taken out of the water. And then we look at what he named his children.
Mm-hmm.
You have Gershom, which is foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, born in a foreign land, and he's a foreigner in their land.
Right.
A sojourner. And then we have Eliezer, who is the Lord of my father was my help. So these are very telling names, and we can learn a lot from them. Just like the father-in-law here as well. You know, Reuel means friend of God, and Jethro means his abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of these may be his priestly name; the other may be his physical name.
Right.
But there's also tribal names and so many other things that can come into play here. So are these different people? Are these the same people? You know, I don't see a contradiction at all. I think it all fits together, and we're just learning more about that individual. And as we are reading through these, it's telling us more about his character and who he is and his role, because we're going to see encounter him a couple times as we're studying Moses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. All right. Now, we still need to look at the disagreement over the names of Moses' father-in-law. It's unsolvable within the scholarly community to this day. Scholars keep on debating. But I love how Rob put it. That is, we know the priest, there was a priest, all right, of Midian, and we know that. And so what Rob, I support what you said. All right, but there was no confusion in the text, of course, that the scholars are using to agree or disagree. Let me just look at it. Let me bring a little one to you. In the King James Version, translation of Judges 4:11, a man named Hobba appeared as Moses' father-in-law. Why Numbers 10:29 makes him the son of Reguel, which is Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, Ruah is noted in Exodus 2:16 as a priest of Midian who has seven daughters. In Exodus 2:18, the girls return to Ruah, their father. Ruah becomes Moses' father-in-law in Exodus 2:21. Moses agreed to stay with him, who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Now, here are issues. Now, let's look at carefully. In Numbers 10:29, the Hebrew for the name Ragul, which is spelled R-A-G-U-L, is the same as the Hebrew for Ruel, the R-E-U-E-L. It's the same. The reason for the difference is that the Hebrew character in the alphabet that is called Ayin is sometimes used as a vowel. And whenever that is used as a vowel, then you have the A G out and it is replaced by a U or by an A. So the two names Ragur and Rua are the same name according to what the research that I've made and looking at the text very carefully. Now the possible solution to this debate is this. We can say Ruel, which is R-E-U-E-L, and Ragur, which is R-A-G-U-L, are the same name and they have the same meaning, which means friend of God. Therefore, these two names is one name, and that is the same name, the same person that is called Jethro. So we know that, and the last point about Hubba. It is correct that Hubba was the brother-in-law of Moses who helped him and with the direction in the wilderness. It was not Jethro. It was the son. So it was Moses' brother. Now we can conclude that way. Ruah and Ragul, that's the same name, which means friend of God. Jethro was the priest. And Ruah and Ragul is the same person that is in question. Hubba is the son of this priest. All right. And so that's how you can harmonize the whole thing and conclude. Okay. It's kind of, but when you look at the text, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. So look at it very carefully. And let me just repeat that. Ruah and Ragul are the same name. And the two names mean friend of God. And the same person is Jethro. Hubba is the son of Jethro that helped his brother-in-law Moses in the wilderness. That's our concluding point from our study. All right. Now
you make an interesting point too, because in the ancient Hebrew,
right,
it was consonants. The vowels were something that evolved later,
right,
in time. So it would have been the exact same characters,
right.
So that's a very valid point,
right. And that's why many people don't see it, and they would say, "Oh no, then it's a different name here. It's a different name here. It's a different name here." No, but when you look at the Hebrew carefully, you find that. All right, you find
great point.
Okay, the second thing that we're going to look at today and for us to finish the teaching is Moses and Zipporah, they were blessed with two children. You know, when you marry, what happened? You want to have a family, right? So, you know, you got a family already, you and your wife, and then you want to have kids and all that was in the play. But the first child that was born unto Moses and Zipporah was Gershom. All right? Now, no, Moses agreed to settle down, and we can say old man Jethro, the priest, gave his daughter and said, "Well, if I give this man a wife, then he will stay here to do my work and help me." So you give me a why. That was something cultural. It happened in my own culture several times. Even when I was coming up as a young man, my father used to do that. My father was a traditional leader, and if you came into our area and start going out with one of his daughters, that meant you're going to come and start working for him. And you would say, well, if you marry my daughter, well, then that would be it. So it has some cultural background to help the man to stay and have a good time and live with him. So we see here in the life of Jethro, he did the same thing. So now, Moses agreed to stay down there, and then they have a son. And this child was named Gershom. And what did Moses say? And Rob, you started talking about it. What is the meaning of the name?
The meaning of the name is foreigner.
Foreigner. Good.
And that was the eldest son that was born to Moses.
Right. Moses said, I'm foreigner in this land. All right. And I love, and other authors say, where expulsion, exile, an alien there, a stranger there, a sojourner there. Well, it all means about the same thing. But he said, okay, I have a son, and I'm a foreigner here. I'm an alien here, and God had given me a son. So Moses knew that where he was, that was not his home, right? He knew that very carefully, and then you can see the name given to his son. I'm a foreigner here, even though I'm doing well and have a family now, but where I am is not my home. So he knew that. All right. The second son that was born unto the union of Zipporah and Moses was Eleazar. And the meaning of his name is God, his help. And Rob, you, I think you talked about this when we were introducing this teaching.
Yeah. The Lord of my father was my help, or God is his help.
Right.
It's interesting because here, we have to think about what Moses has been through, what's happening. And the names that he chooses for his land, for his children.
Right.
Now, here he is a foreigner in a foreign land. And as he's naming his children, he's thinking about his position and where he is and what's transpired to bring him here.
Right.
But he's also pointing out that, that God is his help.
Right.
And God has provided for him. He's provided a wife. He's provided home, safety, shelter, protection, many things. So we're seeing that transpire in the naming of the children.
Yes. Okay, now, this is where we are tonight. Let me just give you a little summary of what we've been talking about. And as you know, Rob will always give us the conclusion. Okay, we talk about Moses entering Midian and help out seven girls who were troubled by unkind people, and Moses went there and helped them out. That help alone enabled him to just move into the home of the priest in that area, and the priest was so concerned. The priest loved Moses. And Moses began to serve the priest or work in his household. The priest gave him a wife. So Moses got a wife, and the Lord blessed him and his wife with two children. The first child, Gershom, he said, I'm in exile. I am in the strange land. I'm a stranger here. The second son, Eliezer, he said, oh, God is my help. God is my helper. You see all these kind of, and Moses knew exactly what he was talking about. Okay, this is where we are tonight. Before Rob give us our concluding point, I want to unmute everyone. And if you have any question tonight regarding this teaching, that you will ask it. And if you want to make a comment regarding this teaching, that you would do so. And so that Rob will come out and just summarize and give all our conclusion for tonight. And that. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you. Rob, can you give us give us the conclusion, and so then I will make our announcement.
Yes. Yes. So you know, something that's interesting as we were talking to this tonight. Something crossed my mind here. Moses's wife is the daughter of a high priest.
Mm-hmm.
And who's his brother? Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Who's also the high priest of the Israelites.
Right.
Yeah. So he's leaving his people, leaving everything, going into another area.
Right.
Moving into another high priest's home.
Mm-hmm.
Acquiring the wife who is the daughter of this high priest.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just really interesting. Interconnected. Yeah, you see the divine providence in this.
Mm-hmm.
My conclusion, Moses was born into a family that was enslaved into captivity by the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, despite who he was and his birth, he was raised as royalty,
right.
Raised as an Egyptian. But why did he murder the Egyptian? You know, was he trying to win favor with his people and rejecting his adopted position of royalty?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a perceived injustice?
It's a great
question. What was stirring in his heart? Yeah, I don't know. It's just something I was pondering. So it's interesting to note that, you know, he thought there was nobody around. However, two Hebrews confronted him about the matter.
Yeah.
And eventually Pharaoh found out and wanted him killed for his actions. So what is clear is that scripture condemns this act, murder.
Mm-hmm.
We know this from the Ten Commandments, which came later, but we also know from past events when Cain killed Abel, you know, God condemned this act.
Right.
And we see many things that tell us even before the Ten Commandments that this is wrong. So the important lesson here that we must take away is that when we take matters of justice into our own hands, just as Moses did here, we will pay the consequences.
Uh-huh.
So Moses, you know, lost his position in a sense. He had to flee. He had to go on the run. And this is not our role. We are not judges. This is the role of God.
Mm-hmm.
So yet what the amazing part, what I love, is that despite his failure on that day,
yes,
he still is called by God to lead his people.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, yeah, he ascends into a position of leadership over his people, and they look to him to come and accept him.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, he doesn't want this position, and he doesn't feel worthy. So ultimately, he denies it. He's like, God, I don't want to do this. And ultimately, he agrees, okay, well, Aaron can go.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, now for our announcement tonight, if you are listening to this video, viewing the video rather on YouTube, please give us a feedback. Leave a comment. You have a thumbs up, thumbs down, hit that button with your choice. Well, if it's thumbs up, hit it. If it's thumbs down, hit it. Yes, your choice. Please leave us a message. If you are also watching this video on our website, do the same. We want to hear from you. That will help us to do more and more. And please, if you want to get our teaching regularly, subscribe. All right. Just if it is on YouTube, you gotta click that button to subscribe. And when the moment we publish one video, it will come straight in your inbox. So you don't have to go on YouTube to find it. It will just come straight in your inbox. Please subscribe, and you will get every teaching that we present here on our website and on YouTube. So do whatever you want to do, but give us some feedback, some feedback. All right. We will continue our study on Moses. We thank God. Now we look at the background, which is in part one. We have studied the wedding itself. Now we're going to, next week, join us at the same time. We're going to pick up from there. Moses, who was attacked by one of his own brothers in Egypt, said, "Who made you rulers over us? You want to kill us like how you killed that Egyptian yesterday." That same Moses left after 40 years. He came to Midian, and he was there for 40 years. God took him from there and sent him back to redeem his people. We're going to pick up from that next week. So thank you so much for those who joined us tonight. And we will see you next week at 8 o'clock. Thank you so much. And may God, Richard, bless you. Join us. Invite somebody. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.